Sideline Sanity with Michelle Tafoya.
We're with Colli Fontanilla.
I'm not a fan of TikTok, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing TikTok videos where I make fun of woke teachers in this mask. So I call her Miss Luna Activist, and she says all of the crazy things that woke teachers say. Some people thought she was real. So many people being like, whoa, like, who is this teacher? Get her fired. And that's where it went viral. It also went viral on Facebook.
Streaming on Apple Podcasts and SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 27th day of October 2022. Now, we have as our producer tonight and engineer, none other than the professional, reliable Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
Good to have you here now. In the studio, live, on the mics, from right to right, we have, and I see because there's left is not allowed here, left is not tolerated. There is no left allowed anywhere near here, right?
Right and further right, maybe. That's,
there is, you go, yeah. Right and right. So now, from right to right, we have Dan Davis. He's an economist, Dan.
Yes. Good evening. My name is Dane Davis. I am a resident here of Northeast Ohio, an economist. Used to work on Wall Street and the commodity sector, but moved to Ohio to be here with my family and raise my kids in this great state.
We need economists here.
Oh, we do. We do. No more lawyers. I think we have enough lawyers, Pastor. I think we need more economists, people that know how the real world actually works. So.
All right, now sitting right in between all of us on the right, in center right, we have Joe Miller. Now, he's here to find out if what we're doing is right and to make sure that we know who we are, because nowadays, you know, we have all these trans things. So say hello, Joe Miller.
Yes, hello. I'm looking forward to this. Myron and Dale.
Dane. Yeah.
So I'm just kind of caught in the middle. I'm the chauffeur for Myron tonight. So, but I'm going to enjoy the show. And I told him if I have questions, then probably the listeners have those same questions. So, but yeah, I'm in Cleveland Heights too, by the way. That's where.
And then we have a speaker on communism and Marx and Satan, none other than Professor Myron Shibley.
Hi, how are you? My name's Professor Shibley. I was drafted into this. I was a language teacher until I met an ex-communist by accident. Well, I don't think it was by accident. I think it was by providence. And he wised me up because I never figured that when the Berlin Wall fell, that the Marxists would continue on. And not only would they not be defeated by the fall of the Berlin Wall, they were pushed to come to the United States, and according to him, they took over Harvard, Brandeis, and Columbia, moved north to convert the northeastern part of the United States to Marxism. They went south and made inroads in Virginia. They were stopped by the evangelicals in South Carolina. They also occupied Berkeley, where they went north and spread their ideas all over in academia.
We're going to take you right there, Myron, to where it all started, okay? And we're in Proverbs chapter 1. And in Proverbs chapter 1, we read this. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Pay close attention to, fellas, to what he's saying here. If they say, come with us, and let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Does this sound like what's happening in America today? Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down to the pit. Now listen to this, economist Dane. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. There's a name for that, isn't it? My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which is taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Now, the communists, the Marxists, they don't like capitalists, but they like our capital. They love our capital. And they have a lot of it. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words. Now, this is the teaching, God's word. And you have to understand, when it talks about the gates, that's the city, that's government, okay? Concourse is the marketplace where he's referring to. God is speaking, God's word is speaking. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Now, basically, I'm preaching to Democrats. Right now, this basically is what they hold to, what they believe out there today. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But you have said it not all of my counsel, and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh in your day of calamity. Their day of calamity is coming upon them rapidly. And I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, it did not choose the fear of the Lord. All right. Myron, you and Dane are going to be speaking Tuesday, November 1st, at Geauga County Tea Party at 6:30, and that's at the Metzenbaum Center in Chesterland, Ohio. And
that's right.
I'm the chaplain there. Did you know that?
I've heard you there a couple times.
I was president for four terms, but now I'm chaplain. And it's easier being the chaplain than it is the president. Anyhow, so we're going to take a look at this because what we're talking about tonight, Marx, Satan, communism, and capitalism, this is what we're up against tonight. And so we're going to start back off. When you were talking, Myron, about Russia, and do you remember that fellow named Nikita Khrushchev? They always tell you what they're going to do, you see. See, if it's planned, if it's organized and planned, people have a tendency not to resist, like if it's just brought upon them quickly, you see. So they're telling you, and they've been telling us in all the public schools over these years, and I've been out here on these microphones for 50 years telling people, do you see what they're doing now? Do you see what they're doing now? And so Myron, Khrushchev said it, didn't he? He took off his shoe, he beat the desk, and what did he say?
We will destroy you from within.
We'll do it without firing a shot. We'll do it through your children. And do you know who he was talking about? John Kerry. And he was talking about, those are people my age. These are people that I grew up with out there, my age group. I didn't grow up with John Kerry. But in fact, do you know, if you've ever watched C-SPAN, when John Kerry was on C-SPAN after his loss to President Bush in that election, they asked him if you could attribute one major thing to your loss, what would it be? He said, AM talk radio in Cleveland, Ohio, okay? I had Jerome Corsi, who had wrote the book, Swift Book, about Kerry, about John Kerry, and we had him, and him and I were going, we were exposing John Kerry. And he said, this was it. It was this radio program that cost him his presidency.
Wow.
And so the Republican Party called me, the RNC, and told me, we've got your back, you know. And I'm not so sure today that means a whole lot, but anyhow. So what do you think about all that?
Okay. Do I get to speak now?
Go for it.
Okay. Well, the hellish vapors rise and fill the brain, till I go mad and my heart is utterly changed. See this sword? The Prince of Darkness sold it to me. For me he beats the time and gives the signs. Even more boldly, I play the dance of death. That's my introduction. I don't care if you believe in God, believe in Satan, believe in anything. Karl Marx believes in Satan. He loves Satan, and his followers have practiced the will of Satan. So for those of you who are skeptics, let's look at the historical facts. What Karl Marx has done is very simple. There is no God, there is no soul, there is no freedom, there is no natural law. Any alcoholic in Cleveland and all over the world knows that there's a God and you're not him if you want to recover. You can't fill a spiritual hole with a material substance. There's always choices in life. And number four, if you drink a fifth of whiskey every day, you're going to kill yourself. So there is a natural law. But these are the basic four tenets of Karl Marx. Karl Marx states specifically, religion's got to go. The family's got to go. Money's got to go. Private property's got to go. And above all, nationalism has got to go. Once we destroy those five counter-revolutionary elements, then the socialist paradise will come out of the ashes. So, he said this in 1848. He published a Communist Manifesto, and he was contradicted immediately by Pope Leo XIII in 1870, the First Vatican Council. The First Vatican Council said, no. You can prove there's a God through reason. You can prove there's a soul through reason. You can prove that we're free through reason. And you can prove that there's natural law through reason. Faith has nothing to do with those four topics. So, was Pope Leo right? He set up and he studied Aristotle. And I am a version of that. This I have learned. You can prove that God exists whether you like it or not. And I will give you proof right now. Number one, there is in the world motion. What is motion? Aristotle was a botanist. He looked out and he said, how could an acorn become an oak tree? Very easily. It needs water, soil, and sunlight. If it has no water, soil, and sunlight, it will never become an oak tree. He said, if something moves, something has to move it from the outside. So think of that. Could your roses just bloom? Aristotle knew it. He was a great botanist. He says, no. They need water, sunlight, air to become beautiful roses. Go around all the vegetation in the world. Factually, what do you see? The Aristotelian principle, nothing is moved unless it's moved by something else. Whether you're religious or not religious is not the point. It's a fact, a scientific fact, which the Marxists hate. They don't want to teach science. A precedes B. That's all there is. There's no link between A and B. That's what they teach kids in school. It comes from David Hume. Well, there is a link between an acorn and an oak tree. And if I want to move my arm, the brain sends down messages to the muscles. And the muscles are connected to bones. And the bones move. What is moving my brain? This is why, if you're a Christian, it's very easy to answer the question. Because Jesus Christ said it, without me, you can do nothing. That means you can't even move your arm without my moving you. You can't move yourself. Then there's a second one that's really very interesting. It's called cause and effect. This is what Pope Leo said. Every effect has a cause. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care if you're an atheist. Every effect has a cause. You go to Cleveland Clinic, my back hurts. What's the cause? My knee hurts. What's the cause? My feet hurts. What's the cause? There are causal effect relationships in every medical professional who works in the Cleveland Clinic and all over the world. This is undeniable. What are the causes of World War II? What are the causes of World War I? What are the causes of the Civil War? We are causal-seeking people. We are causal-seeking animals. That's what we do. This has nothing to do with faith. Pope Leo was firm. You can prove that you have a need for God and that God is real without faith. You don't need faith to affirm this. And he was right. Because if the atheist uses cause and effect when he goes to Cleveland Clinic, well, ask him a simple question. Hey, atheist, what caused the world? Let him answer that. He uses cause and effect in his life all over the place. I have a stomach ache. What's the cause? I better get some Pepto-Bismol. I have a hangover. I better lay down and I better drink coffee. So there are a lot of things that you can point out from your own experience where you use cause and effect all over the place. So the third one is very easy. Pope Leo lays this out. He says it's contingency. We're here today, gone tomorrow. There's a famous rite in Ash Wednesday. They put ashes on your head and says, man, thou art dust, and to dust thou shalt return. You don't keep yourself in existence. If you kept yourself in existence, guess what? You'd never die. But you don't keep yourself in existence. So tell me why you're in existence as not in existence. There has to be some force that keeps you in existence. Jean-Paul Sartre, the French atheist, used to say, I come from nothing, my life is filled full of nothing, and I'm going to nothing. That's what the atheist says. Guess what? There are a lot of American teenagers who are in that mode. They feel despair. And guess what, my friends? You say that you don't need this stuff. Well, I'll tell you. Why is 8.9% of all American high school students tried to commit suicide once in the last year? Why? That's a statistic. Why? Because this atheism has been promoted and religion has been relegated to a what? A feeling. You have your feelings, I have my feelings, and I don't care. Pope Leo XIII says, nonsense, nonsense. God is absolutely scientifically provable and proven.
Well, let me jump in because long before, let me just jump in for a minute. Long before Pope Leo and any of these came, God made it clear. God said this very, very shortly, that there has never been a creation without a creator. It's impossible to have a creation without a creator. And then he went on to say this, that his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And all of that, which you were talking about in Colossians, where he says, we're sustained by that power.
Yes. Well, there are a couple of more that are rather obvious. See, because to say creation demands a creator is very good. But the atheist says there's so much evil in the world that there can't be a transcendent God. All right? Number four, all right, we'll explain a lot. The fourth way is very easy to understand. Is there beauty in the world? Yes or no? Scientifically, yeah. Factually. Is there beauty in the world?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, undeniably. What is beauty? Harmonious composition. You see a deer on the highway decomposing. You see ugliness. You see a deer running in the woods. You see beauty. What do you see? Harmonious composition. Then we can go to Dr. Anthony Flew, who was a confirmed atheist for 30 years in England. He ranted and raved that there was no God until he went to Cambridge and studied genetics. Then he found out that there is 17 trillion cells in the human body with the same DNA. And it goes back to your original point, Pastor. If this is not creation, what is it? 117 trillion cells, not million, not billion, not thousand, 17 trillion cells in the human body with the same DNA. If that is not composition, what is? Who was the composer? God. Who was the beautifier? God. Who was the creator? God. Now, the next one is very interesting. It's called teleology. That's an old Greek word. We don't use that anymore. We say purpose in nature. You have unintelligent beings acting intelligently. Here's salmon. They got a peanut brain like this. Okay? Jacques Cousteau, remember him? He was an oceanographer. They float down the river. They go out. They go to the Bering Straits. They make a 6,000-mile journey. The Jacques Cousteau, he constantly took pictures. He followed them. Then they come back to the same river that they came down, and they jump up and jump up and jump up and jump up to go back to the same place where they were spawned. Is that not engineering? Is it not? How can an unintelligent animal act in an intelligent way? All right. How can this pen act in an intelligent way? Because I'm using it to write. I'm using it to express my intelligence. God, the creator, is all over the place. His evidence is all over the place. Now, Pope Leo answers these atheists who say, there is evil in the world, therefore there is no God. Very interesting. All right, let's end with that. Did God start World War I? 20 million dead. Did God start World War II? Did God start AIDS? No. We human beings murder one ourselves and other people and the habitat that we live in. This is a scientific fact. It has nothing to do with faith. You can prove this scientifically.
Let me jump in there, too, because, again, God does send judgment, and God does send plagues. And so what happens, in fact, he tells you over in Deuteronomy especially that that he will send plagues in the later times that people don't even know about yet. And that's what we've had here. But he gives man a choice to obey or disobey and suffer the consequences. So through disobedience, man brings these plagues upon himself. Okay?
Yeah, well, that's precisely it. But you can approach it from a philosophical point of view. Do you want to live in a world, and ask the atheist this, point blank, do you want to live in a world where there is no creativity, there is no love, there is no freedom?
That's San Francisco.
Do you actually want to live in that type of a world where there is no creativity? Creativity demands freedom, and freedom demands choice, as you just said. You can choose A or choose B, but you're condemned to choose. And we don't like the bad consequences for the choices that we make, because Aristotle noticed this in his proof for the spirituality of the human being. He says, we are not just a higher form of animal, which is taught in American universities all over the place. You're just a higher form of animal. Well, let's examine that. Bears and cougars live in a cave. The only animal that can write on the walls of a cave is a human being. The only animal on this earth that knows what's good for him and does the opposite is a human being. The only animal on this earth that finds out what works and stops doing it is a human being.
That's true, but you know what, Myron? See, bears know that they're bears, and wolves know that they're wolves. But today, within the Democratic Party, they're not sure what they are, okay? You can be whatever you feel like, at least for a while.
Yes, you absolutely cannot define a woman. There was a Supreme Court justice who was asked to define what a woman is. She couldn't answer it.
Well, I got to tell you, the AMA, the American Medical Association, they will no longer put male or female on your birth certificate because they're not sure that there are only two genders. You see, I'm sure. I know it for you. Know.
Well, wait till I go on with this. And also, Aristotle wrote this book, De Anima, 400 years before Christ, and he proved that we're spiritual.
Okay. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this. We're coming up to a quick break.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. We're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore.
All right, we are back.
Here we go.
And folks, let me tell you, we have this coming Sunday at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, Of course, we start out at 8:30 with an in-depth Bible study. The regular service starts at 11:15, but from 4 to 6 at our the Bible and current events, the real Dr. Fauci. You're going to see, you're going to find the history of Dr. Joseph Mengele Fauci. This guy, folks, you won't believe what Mr. Fauci is really all about. We're going to be showing that film there, Lord's willing, okay, from 4 to 6 p.m. And then, of course, Pastor Hal Larson is going to be in the pulpit preaching the evening message. So I'll be preaching, Lord's willing, okay, the morning message. We're going to be talking about delusion, how God has sent them strong delusion. And boy, yeah, you'll be find this message very, very interesting. So right now we're going to go back with Myron Shibley, and he's going to keep going after those atheists and the Marxists and the entire Democratic Party.
Yes, well, here's a very important point. They say, I've heard this in all the universities, religion's a feeling, you feel your way, I feel my way, it really doesn't matter. Don't ever tell me that there's a scientific, historical basis for religion and Christianity. For those of you who are evangelicals, I want you to get two CDs. God is Not Dead, number one. God is Not Dead, number two. It's called, the group is called Affirm Films, and they do a beautiful job in showing the conflict between the atheist professor and the Christian student, and it's wonderful. The first point he makes is this: Darwin captured the mind of the American intelligentsia. What do they believe? We all come from apes and gorillas. There is no spirituality. There is a slow, constant evolution through billions of years. Well, Albert Einstein had a good friend. His name was Father Lemaître. He was a Belgian Jesuit priest. And what he did was very exceptional. He came up with the Big Bang Theory, which is now accepted in all of the American universities. Namely, Karl Marx, goodbye, baby. Goodbye, Darwin, goodbye. Because in less than 3 minutes, 98% of the life forms appeared on this earth. Einstein immediately converted to theism. He stopped being an atheist, and he converted to theism. And your college professors will never tell you this. I have already mentioned Dr. Anthony Flew, who was a confirmed atheist for 30 years. Again, he went to the University of Cambridge. He studied genetics. He taught at the University of Cambridge. And all of a sudden, he reversed himself because science proves that there is a God.
You know, What he said about atheism, or what he said about God, was that God does not have to theorize. Okay, God doesn't have any theories. He has the answers. Yeah,
that's right. He has the answers because it is proven.
That was that, Einstein.
It is proven that if the Big Bang Theory happened, and boom, it did, because it's in the book of Genesis. You read the book of Genesis, boom, let there be light. Boom, this happened. Boom, that happened. That follows the Big Bang Theory of the 21st century. And we know, as all cosmologists now believe, that that supplanted Darwin, and Darwin was wrong. Because if you watch this film, it's beautiful. It's made by evangelicals. And they prove in this conversation that there is a God.
Yeah, but you see, now the atheists also promote the Big Bang Theory. Okay, Carl Sagan promoted it. He did it this way, and he sounded like this.
20 billion years ago, there was nothing. There was no you. There was no me. And then there was a plasmatic explosion, and everything that is came out of that.
In other words, he was saying this. This is brilliant, right? 20 billion years ago, there was nothing. And what happened, someone who didn't exist, it took a power force that wasn't there, and it ignited nothing. And when that nothing got ignited, there was a klezmatic explosion, and here we are. Is that science?
That was an excellent Sagan impression, I have to say. It sounds just
yes,
like
that was very nice.
That was really good.
It's very easy to answer him. Yeah. Something can't come out of nothing. Very easy. And if you go back to Pope Leo.
Unless you're God.
Yes, okay. Here is an effect. What's the cause? And the atheists don't do that. They won't answer that question. Plus, Dr. Anthony Flew says this. How can conscious thinking matter come out of unconscious, unthinking matter? You explain that to me, Mr. Atheist. They have no explanation of that. How can a thinking being come out of non-thinking matter? So,
can I say something real quick here? What the atheist will say is that, who created God? Because you're saying God started everything.
God was pre-existent and self-existent. There was no, in fact, God tells you the answer to that, that his ways are so much higher than our ways that we could never understand the answer to that question. We don't have the capability. It's far beyond our ability to even begin to comprehend that question.
There's that beautiful passage out of the book of Job when God basically says, who was there at the beginning of the universe? It was me. Not you, Job, right?
That's right.
That beautiful speech. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Now, see, there's an occultic teaching out there today that teaches just the opposite. What they teach was that the universe actually created God, that after billions of years, the universe created God, and then as years went by, and time and billions of years went by, God became omnipotent, omniscient, and all-powerful and omnipresent. And then the universe had created Satan. And when Satan showed up, God says, I created you. And then Satan found out later that it wasn't, it was the universe. Now, there's a problem with that, and that is who created the universe, right?
Well, there's a very simple answer. There is no effect that is greater than the cause.
Right.
Pablo Picasso's paintings are not greater than Pablo Picasso. And to say, I want, and this film actually answers what you said, Joe. Who created God? They give a very simple answer. That's a tautology. Namely, you are assuming that there has to be a creation for God, and God is not God. You are assuming that he's a creature, and then you're asking the question.
You know, Dr. Ken Hovind, who's been on this program with me for many years, spent 10 years in prison because he was probably one of the greatest creation scientists in the world. And him and I were good friends. He's been on here. He spent 10 years in prison, and the reason why is when he was going to debate these evolutionists, he would take on two or three evolutionists in one debate. He was ripping them apart. He was tearing them apart. And what was happening, these universities and these colleges, you know, they went into a panic. Look, you know, we're Marxists. You know, this guy is destroying our Marxism. And so they brought up false charges. You know what they charged him with? He went from the bank and he withdrew his own money. He withdrew his own money from the bank. And they've got some term for that you can't withdraw. If you withdraw $10,000 at a time, you have to fill out all this paperwork.
That's right.
So he kept it under $10,000. His own money he drew, he kept it under $10,000. But they had to, so they brought false charges and false claims against him. And he spent 10 years in prison for telling the truth. There you go. And he has a series, I mean, of the best films where it comes to creation versus evolution that you ever want to see. I mean, it was really good. I spent a lot of time with him. But go ahead.
Okay. So there are actually six ways to approach the Marxist lie that there is no soul. They're strictly materialists. Who did Karl Marx follow? He followed Democritus, who was an atomist, who was a materialist, he was an atheist. And Karl Marx did his PhD on the Greek philosopher Democritus. As we have already said, human beings are the only animal that can write on the cave wall. Animals like cougars and bears live in caves, but never write on them. Human beings can change their environment, but animals only adapt to their environment. Namely, bears have a big, what, a big coat on them where they do not freeze in the winter, and they are able to hibernate in caves and adjust to their environment. We can have heat in the winter, and we can have cool air in the summer because we can change our environment.
I was the one that proved that global warming, because of that, that all of the polar bears were not going to drown. Because I was the one that let it out the polar bears could swim. And because of that, yeah. So, but go ahead.
Okay.
They're still here, too, those polar bears.
More than ever.
I know.
They're overpopulated, yeah.
There's too many of them, yeah. Yes.
Well, so here we go. Human beings are the only animals on this earth that fight and die for an idea. No other animal will fight and die for an idea. This is out of the Marine Corps manual. So here you see that you are just a higher form of animal really doesn't work. Human beings are the only animal on this earth that knows what's good for them and does the opposite. We all know that. Human beings discover what works, but then stop doing it, known as psychological sabotage in modern psychology. People fear success. Sometimes gamblers gamble to lose. Human beings do something repeatedly, over and over again, but expect different results. So, to say that a human being is just a higher form of animal is ludicrous. Pope Leo points this out, and he says, Aristotle proved 400 years before Christ that we are spiritual. It is a scientific fact.
Then you don't believe in trans species, right? Because that's what they're teaching now in the public school system. Trans species. In other words, you can have if you want. You have a litter box, you know, in the closet for the children that think they're kittens or puppies because they've trans species. And if you tell them that they're not, you could be charged with child abuse now in so many states. So you got to be careful. Yeah.
Hey, can I just say one thing about evolution, too? Does it ever occur to you how ridiculous it is for a species to evolve into something greater than it was? I mean, how does that happen?
Like? There's one. Do you know of an exact science? Do you know if there's one exact science? You know what that is? It's called mathematics. It's mathematically impossible. It's mathematically impossible for that to take place. So what happens is, you know, again, it goes all the way back to you cannot have a creation without a creator, what you call species and what they call kinds or bloodlines, okay? They can't transform to another. In other words, a dog cannot mate with a cat, okay, or a horse. You have the same bloodlines. Now, and this is true, too, where you talk about racism. Really, racism doesn't exist because God created one race. It's called the human race, humankind. There's one race. We all have one bloodline. Now, we do have, you know, things where it comes to different social backgrounds and so on and so forth like that, but it's not really racism, right? Go ahead.
So, despite going to rehab for alcoholism, people decide to get out and get drunk with the mindset it's going to be different this time. Good luck. A person knows that a girl or a guy is no good for them, having been burned before, but continues to go back to them, thinking that this time our relationship will work out differently. Animals don't do that. People complain about the current lazy politicians who do not help fix city problems like crime rates and pollution, but vote for the same politicians next election, believing this time they will legislate differently. In short, animals are better than we are in a certain sense. You put Coca-Cola that can take the rust off of a car in front of a dog, the dog will drink the water and not the Coca-Cola. But we can be conditioned to put substances in our body that we know destroy us. So the Marxist ideology that we are matter, completely matter, no soul, there is no soul. And that's why they have to deny science.
Well, you know, the founder or Coca, the CEO, said that we need to become less white. He said we need to become less white. The CEO, and because they're a woke corporation. So I quit drinking Coke, and I've become whiter ever since.
Your teeth, yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a little thinner, too. I that Coke, does, yeah. That's not good for your heart. It's not good for your blood. It's not good
there
for
you
a lot
go.
Of things. Yeah.
So, well, we're heading down the right path, right? We're figuring
that's
this
right.
stuff out.
Yeah.
And so, but you know what you're talking about. Let me tell you this, okay? You take a grizzly bear, right? You take a grizzly bear that has cubs. That female grizzly bear, she will fight a male bear twice her size to protect her cubs. Because the male bear, if it's not his cubs, he'll try to kill those. But she'll fight that. The same thing, you take a dog or a wolf. But here you have women today getting pregnant on purpose, delivering a baby and giving it to Pittsburgh University or these others to experiment on the child alive, experiment, remove its organs alive. That's wickedness, that's evil, and that's being more of an animal. Now, he tells you this, Peter said that they were brute beasts, and so did Jude, that they are brute beasts. And that's what the society that we're living in today. So,
Pastor, let me ask you just a quick question on that then. A person who does that, is it because they do not haven't been brought up in Christianity, the Bible, or anything like that, or is that something they would do no matter what? Maybe they are Christian or whatever. Is it trying to figure out, you know, their psyche on that?
It's because there are people. The Lord Jesus makes it pretty clear. He tells you that those that have received Him and received His word are the children of God. Okay. Those that reject it, hear his word, and reject what he says, that hate God, okay, they are the children of Satan. John chapter 8 tells you they are Satan's children. Now, people don't understand. The vast majority of people can't wrap their brains around the fact that there's even a Satan, that there's even a devil. Most of them just, well, I don't see no devil. Well, the devil sees you, okay. But, but here, folks, that's reality. The answer to your questions, you'll find if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and do a little word study with that, that'll answer that question. They do it because they hate God, okay? And, you know, the Bible says all nations that forget their God will be turned into hell. And he says this, all those that hate God love death. They love, if they love abortion, if they love euthanasia, you know, you mentioned Jacques Cousteau. Do you know Jacques Cousteau was mentioned by so many of these people today as this great philosopher? Okay. Jacques Cousteau actually said there's a simple answer to world hunger, and that is that human beings are a great source of protein, and in the wild, the animals, the strong eat the weak, and that keeps them strong. And humans can do the same thing. Okay. So I don't think he was such a great, he was when it came to nature, he was smart, but he lost it there, didn't he? Okay. So anyhow, we're going to have, go ahead, you got about four more minutes and then we got to go to
a
break.
I was going to go on to the cultural Marxist view of freedom. There is no freedom, nothing. Freedom is an illusion. Determinism is a belief that everything in the world, including human events, are predetermined and unavoidable consequences of previous events. Now you know why they love criminals in American society now. Go ahead and stab a woman in the back? Well, my genetic structure and my environment programmed me to do that. In the 19th century, that was called naturalism. Emile Zola, Le Goncourt, they were all on that binge. You are your environment and your genetic structure. You are not free. Then the French flipped in the 20th century to existentialism. Your free environment, you has nothing to do with you. Your genetic structure has nothing to do with you. Science is a fiction. They don't believe in science. Albert Camus refused to word to use the word because in all of his novels, because he says if he uses the word because, he's got to admit there's causality, and there is no causality. So they were off the rails in there. Here we go with Aristotle, who says we are free within limits. Genetic structure, the environment, determine us and influence us. If you're raised on spaghetti and meatballs, when you're an adult, you're going to love spaghetti and meatballs. You know, your environment promotes certain activities, but it doesn't destroy freedom. So, the state is a moral person, Aristotle said, and he's right. And it has the right to protect itself. So these criminals on the subway in New York who are murdering and pushing people off the railing and doing this and beating people, they have to be stopped. And the state has the obligation to protect its citizens.
Well, sure, I know how to do that because I've been listening to them. All you have to do is you defund the police department.
Okay? Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right. See, that's the delusion. That's going back to you defund the police department, and then you can't figure out why crime is growing, right?
Right. It's just supposed to magically resolve itself, or you just pretend, right? It doesn't exist. You delude yourself, really.
Right. I mean, the thing of it is, the whole system is the Antichrist system. In other words, whatever God's word, the Bible teaches, they're in opposition to, they do the opposite, okay? And this is what they've been teaching in these universities. They are not getting, for 50 years I've been telling them here, they are not centers of education, they're centers of indoctrination, okay? And that indoctrination, it really is insanity. It's criminal insanity, okay? So,
Dr. Dan Tinman used to call, we have made Harvard into a madrasa, where you sit there and you are inculcated with values and thinking. We will tell you what your children should think. You parents, you biologically have people. But this is a doctrine of Karl Marx. He says it when he attacks the family. He said, you do not have the right to teach your children what to believe. We, the educated, we, the smart, will teach your children. You found this in Virginia, and you find it in California.
Well, of course, everybody knows it takes a village to raise a child, right? Who was it that said that? Oh, yes, Jezebel. No, Hillary, right? So this is, again, all of this, what you're talking about, is exactly right. It started way back when, and with these teachings taken of Marx. Marx was a Satanist. Engels was a Satanist, okay? But Marx, you know, one of the things that that he did, he hated his mother. I mean, he was celebrating when his mother died, okay? He was his wife. He made her nurse their children, gave them little food, and to her nipples bled, okay? He was known for his cruelty, and the same thing with Stalin. Stalin's men, they were scared to death to come to him. When he was on his deathbed, nobody wanted to come see him because every now and then he would pick out somebody and decide, you're a traitor, and have that person killed in a cruel way just to keep fear going and obedience going. So, but you know, that's called history. They don't teach that in the public school system today, do they? Okay.
Well, they don't dare teach that the children of Karl Marx have murdered 196 million people. It's always Hitler did this, Hitler did that, Hitler did this. Keep your eyes on 13 million, and therefore keep your eyes off 196 million dead all around the world.
Alrighty, we're coming up to a break. When we come back from that break, we got a whole lot more, so don't go wait. More to come. It's just getting going.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries,
14781 Speary Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Border Battle, the new six-part documentary series, puts you on the front line of America's southern border and rise of the deadly drug fentanyl.
The overdose death crisis in this country is directly linked to Cartel Jalisco New Generation and the Sinaloa Cartel and their labs.
Fentanyl is 50 times more powerful than heroin. 3 grains of fentanyl would kill you.
Tens of thousands of Americans have died, and our southern border is a drug cartel war zone.
Now they have sophisticated weapons, tanks. They're dropping explosives on their competitors right by the border. We've never seen this before in the history of the country.
Border Battle shows a border crisis like never before, with exclusive footage exposing the consequences of illegal immigration, drug trafficking, and decades of government neglect.
This will get worse before it gets better.
Watch Border Battle from Turning Point USA. Download this shocking six-part series now at SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.